Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope that you enjoy this encouraging message. For more information on our church family, visit freechapel.org/OC.
If you have your Bibles, you can open with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. And I'm excited to share. Really, I wish I had the time to do a whole series here because there's so much good stuff in the book of Jonah. And this morning, we're going to kind of take a survey through his life. And of course, you probably would know the story. But we're going to look at God's word today and believe that as we open up God's word, we have a chance to hear from God and hear what the story of Jonah would have to say to us. There is a promise in the scriptures that theologians have called prevenient grace. Prevenient grace simply just means that God is always working. It means that nothing is impossible for God. Part of the hope that we have, the great sense of expectation and faith in a room like this, is we believe that there is nothing that's too big for our God. There are no mountains that can stand in his way. There is no diagnosis that he is surprised by. There is nothing that is too big for our God that even the miraculous God can do something about. God still works miracles. And even what seems impossible, the Bible tells us that nothing is impossible for God. It's a great promise that we have. But part of that thinking, we can oftentimes we think nothing impossible for God means the miraculous, and certainly it does. But I want to suggest to you that it also means that doing nothing would be impossible for God. For if there was one thing that God could not do, it would be nothing. God can never not do anything. He's always working. We sang about it just a moment ago. Even you never stop working. You never stop. God never sleeps. He never takes a day off on his job. God is never on vacation or too distant to hear from us. He is always working. A while back, we had the opportunity last month to take some time off, my wife and I. We took our kids to Chicago where some of our family is. And it was our first time traveling with two children. And some of the parents in the room already know where this story is going. Sorry to make all the illustrations about my kids, but that's just where I'm at in life, guys. And so it was amazing to me. The flight to Chicago is about 4 hours long, and we got off that flight, and we were exhausted. And my wife was like, "Why are you so tired?" And it was because for 4 hours straight, I didn't do anything but take care of my kids. There was no music. There was no, you know, when you take a flight by yourself, you got the whole setup. You get the table out. You get a little sparkling water. That's my jam. You watch your movie and you can read and you can study or do what you need to do. And it's just like chill. When you're traveling with two kids, the only thing that we did was tend to them. I was like, "Here, try these cheese crackers, and here, play with this thing and clean this up and stop kicking the seat in front of you and don't hit your sister and now eat a peanut butter and jelly and do all of these things." And you know, it's a silly example, but that's kind of what I feel like what happens when we are in Christ. God is constantly attending to us. Part of the promise of prevenient grace means that nothing in the kingdom of God happens by accident or coincidence, but only by providence. In fact, I've learned that coincidences are simply just God working and choosing to remain anonymous. For nothing in the kingdom happens by coincidence. It only happens by providence. Providence means that God is always working on my behalf. He's always working, often behind the scenes, to orchestrate and micromanage every detail of my life. Part of the promise that we have in the providence of God is that God orders my steps and he orders my stops. That God orchestrates these details. That's what providence means. And this morning I want to preach to you from this title, Providential Problems. Providential problems, because there are some problems that we will face, as we will see in the life of Jonah, that are actually God's providence. God provides to us in this way. Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, we'll read a few passages or a few scriptures today. The Bible says this: "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, such a violent storm that arose that the ship was about to break. And all the sailors were afraid. Each cried out to his own God, and they threw cargo into the sea to try and lighten the ship. The story goes on that the storm gets worse. And so they go downstairs, and Jonah, who is sleeping in the bottom of the boat, they shake him and they wake him up and they say, "You have got to do something about this. Pray." Now, how many know things get really bad when the sailor has to remind the preacher to pray? This is what's happening. They're shaking Jonah and they're saying, "You need to pray." And Jonah realizes, he goes, I'm pretty sure that this storm is my fault. And so instead of you going down with me, why don't you just throw me overboard and leave me to die? And they do. And they're like, okay. And you know what happens? They throw him overboard. And I can promise you, they were not, Jonah was not thinking about a whale at this point. He wasn't like, oh, this is gonna happen when I go swimming. No, he was like, just throw me over to die because it's better if I die than to take you down with me. And it's amazing to me, this story that begins to take place, because Jonah gets thrown overboard. The storm then stops. And then the Bible says this in verse 17. It says, then the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and for 3 nights. Now, regardless, I think, of your church background, we all would be familiar with the story of Jonah and the whale, which in some ways makes this a difficult text to preach from. In 10 years of ministry, I've never preached from the story of Jonah, because I think when we approach familiar stories like this, we all come to the Bible with a sense of confirmation bias. Like, yeah, I get it. I know the story. And maybe without even realizing it, we can treat these familiar stories as fable or of nursery rhyme because of what we think we know that the Bible says. And that can be a dangerous thing because, you know, every time we open the Bible is a chance for us to hear God's voice. Every time we read the Word of God, we have the opportunity for a fresh word and a fresh encounter with God. And part of the danger, I think, is that if we treat this as like, okay, I get it, I've heard this story before, we rob ourselves of maybe what God would be trying to say to us this morning. Because the reality about the Bible is that we could never get to the end of its truth. We could never get to the end of the depths and the mystery and the wisdom that this book has to tell us about our God. And every book of these pages speak to us a new dimension of who God is. And so maybe to help us this morning, to kind of shake us out of our familiarity, I want to show you an article that I found of a modern day Jonah. It happened just 2 years ago, where there was a diver who was swallowed by a whale. There he is, Michael Packard. Y'all, you know it's a good news story when the headline says, "Oh my God." Listen to what the article says. A little before 8 a.m. on Friday, June 11th, 2021, veteran lobster diver Michael Packard entered the water for his second dive of the day. And in something of truly biblical proportions, Packard was swallowed whole by a humpback whale. And all of a sudden, he recounts his story. He says, "All of a sudden, I felt this huge shove, and the next thing is everything went completely black. I was inside," and he said, I thought to myself, "There's no way I'm getting out of here. I'm done. I'm dead." But after a few close minutes, he saw the light, and the next thing he knew, the whale had spit him back out into the water. Now, this is a crazy story. In fact, it's so crazy that it nearly made the news worldwide. And yet we sit here and we read the story of Jonah and the whale and we think of it as normal. We're like, "Oh yeah, like I get it. Jonah was swallowed up by a whale." What? And we think, you know, like this is, God did that thing way back in the day. Like surely whales don't swallow people anymore. Well, apparently they do. And so maybe can I suggest to you today that Jonah and the whale really happened. It's not just a children's story. Maybe Jonah's story has something to tell us. Maybe we can listen to what Jonah has to say, that there is something we can learn from this story again this morning. Now, Jonah's story, it's about 4 chapters long. It's a relatively short book in the Bible, but honestly, it's about 3 chapters too long. The book of Jonah should really just be like a one and done chapter, because it happens, as we read, in the first sort of 5 verses, and the rest of the book is the consequences of Jonah's disobedience and really this wrestling that begins to happen between Jonah and God. And in the book of Jonah, we see this, I think, really interesting picture of the way in which that God wants to use us to accomplish his purpose in the world. And I just want to give you 3 things this morning to help you to remember this story and to encourage us in this way. Here's the first thing I want to say is that, number one, we all have a little bit of Jonah in us. We all have a little Jonah in us. We all have this temptation that is bent towards rebellion. We all have this piece of us that wants to run and to disobey God. The book of Jonah begins like this. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It's the same way that many prophetic books in the Bible begin. But what made Jonah interesting is that God, his calling was to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It was a non-Jewish city, which, if I can pause here for a moment, it's not many times that we see this happen in the Old Testament. But Jonah is actually sent to his enemies. He's sent to a place that is not a part of the people of Israel. It's the Gentile people. And Jonah, maybe among any other person in the Old Testament, is sent to them. Now, God's plan was never limited to a single group of people or an ethnic nation. God was always committed to reaching the world. And in fact, the only reason that God had blessed and commissioned Israel was that they could be a witness to the world around them. And what makes Jonah unique is that he is sent not just to reach the Gentiles, but to reach his enemies. They were on almost every level opposed to the things that Jonah loved and valued. In modern terms, we could call this people a group of terrorists. There's many sources that you can read about the Assyrian Empire and the people of Nineveh that are R-rated at best. I mean, these people were brutal and like mercilessly violent. Without being too graphic, you've seen maybe in movies the head on the stick. That's these people. And they were terrible. And so God says, Jonah, I've got a plan. I want you to go to these people and tell them how bad they are. And Jonah goes, no, not gonna do it. And what begins to happen is Jonah, he's understanding, I think he knows what this means. If it didn't go perfectly well for Jonah, it would likely mean a brutal death for him. And so God's like, go. And he's like, great idea. I'm not doing that. And because I think, you know, sometimes Jonah gets a bad rap in church, right? But Jonah was a prophet. Jonah knew God's voice. And the book of Jonah, he's not reprimanded for him being like ratchet or like him like completely being crazy. No. It wasn't about what Jonah was doing. It was about what he didn't do. And he heard God's voice and he knew the sound of God's voice and he had built a reputation of obeying God's voice. But this time God speaks and he says, no. He says, if I go to this city and I preach repentance, I think Jonah, this is what makes Jonah so relatable, is because I think he understands that if he preaches repentance to these people, then God is gonna let them off the hook easy and give them a second chance. But Jonah, it wasn't just outsiders, they were his enemies. They were opposed to everything that he valued. And he says, no. God, I know what you're gonna do if they start to repent and I don't wanna be a part of that. And see, this is what I think begins to take place is because Jonah, you know, like we can read his story and we can think of him as like the legendary loser of the Bible. Like, this guy lived thousands of years ago and I would never disobey God. What an idiot. Yes, we would. We struggle to invite the Starbucks barista to church. Oh, what are they gonna think of me? And we struggle with, you know, because this is what I think Christians are so funny, because what happens is, I've seen this time and time again, that people will be like, you know what? I'm waiting on a word from the Lord. just waiting on God to speak. And my question is, how often does God speak to us, but we just don't like what he has to say? Hear me today. If you are waiting for God to tell you something that you like, you're gonna be waiting forever. Because what God will do is when God speaks to you, and he will tell you to do something you don't wanna do. Mostly for people that you don't wanna do it for, or people that you don't even like. You know, here's Jonah, and he's like, I don't want to go to these people. And it just, it's like relatable to me, because we all have these people in our life that make us question, God, how could you love them? You met these people before? Of course, I know why God loves me. It's not an issue. But them? God, why do you love them? These people? Seriously, God? Have you ever done this? Have you ever tried to tell God something as if he doesn't already know it? I feel like when I'm alone with God, I can convince him of just about anything. And I feel like there's this, Jonah, he's like sent to these people and he's like pleading with God. And he's like, I'm not going there, God. Are you serious? And there's this like thing of him even beginning to say, he's like, why do you love them? Why do you want them to repent? Why are you trying to reach them? I love what the author Anne Lamott says. She says this, if you can safely assume that you have created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. How good is that? Because we all have this thing where we're like, yeah, like, God, how could you love them? And we all have this bit of Jonah inside of us that is bent on rebellion. We have this thing about us that tries to twist and manipulate our obedience to God into something that is comfortable or convenient or prosperous for our lives. We try and manipulate God to obey him only on our own terms, when it makes sense or when I agree with him. But that's not obedience. That's just agreement. And what happens when God speaks to you and it's something you don't like? What do we do then? Because Jonah, he's running as far away from God as he can get. Here's just my question for us this morning by way of introduction is could there be that there is something that you are running from that you should be running toward? What is it that you are running from? What is it that you have put on the back burner and there's something that God has maybe spoken to you that you are hoping that God will forget? Waiting for you to not do it. Because when God calls you, hear me, God is not calling you for your glory. When God calls you, he's not trying to make your story great. He's trying to make his story great. And we have the great privilege of partnering with God and being used by him. But we can so often make this mistake to think like, God, you don't know what they're gonna think of me if I do that. Or God, seriously, you don't know these people that I'm sent to. And the thing I think that keeps most of us running in our life is because we think we know better than God does. So what are you running from this morning? That's what verse 3 says. Jonah heard the voice of God and immediately he ran away from God. Second thing I wanna tell you today is that when you're running from God, you can expect a storm. When you're running from God, you can expect a storm. Watch this. Jonah is called to go to Nineveh. From where he is, it's about 500 miles north. And he makes a plan and he says, you know what? I'm not gonna go to Nineveh. I wanna go to Tarshish, which is about 2,500 miles south. One person said, when you're running from God, the only direction you can go is down. What Jonah tries to do is he tries to put 3,000 miles between him and God's will. And he says that even if God could catch up to me, it's gonna be too late for him to do anything about it. And verse 4 says this, that then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship was about to break. I love the Bible because sometimes it gives us this lens to see what's really at stake. The Bible helps us to see oftentimes behind the curtain of the real reason that we couldn't otherwise see if we were in the story. And the Bible says this about Jonah. It wasn't just a random collision of weather patterns. It wasn't just like the, you know, Hurricane Hillary that just sprouted upon us. No, no, the Bible says that this storm was sent by God. One translation said God hurled the storm at Jonah, almost like a Hail Mary to try and get Jonah's attention. And God sent this storm. This storm had Jonah's name on it. I think it's funny because we, oftentimes the longer we're in church, the more we wanna blame the devil for our storms. Have you noticed this? That the longer we're in church, oh, the devil this, and the devil made me do that. Well, could it be that there are just some storms in your life for your cause because of you running from God's will? Now, I'm not saying that every storm is this way, but there are some storms that God will send into your life to get your attention. This is what happens for Jonah. The Bible says this. Listen to Proverbs 14:12. It says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. In the end, well, in the moment, it seems right. In the moment, it seems fair. In the moment, but the Bible says that in the end, what seems right to us only leads to death. See, it takes time in your life for seeds to grow. All of us today are here and we are reaping the harvest of decisions we made yesterday. Bible talks about sowing and reaping, and very simply, it just says the things that you are sowing into your life, you will reap. There is no way that you can try and sow something, and whatever you sow is gonna reflect the nature of that seed. If you sow obedience or if you sow faithfulness, then you're gonna reap the fruit of that. But you can't pretend like you're gonna just sow disobedience and not have the consequence or the cost of those things. You can't sow bitterness and reap joy. You can't try and sow deceit and reap a blessing. You can't sow anger and reap love. You can't sow fear and reap peace. It doesn't work that way. What you sow, you will reap. And so often I'll meet people and they'll be like in disobedience to God or running from God, and they'll think, I'm good. You may seem like you're in control now, but those things will play out in your life. You can cut off a tree and it looks alive for a while. But the moment that thing is cut off and uprooted, it will lead to death. Stop bearing fruit. That's what I'm telling you today. There is a cost in disobeying God. It may cost money. It may cost relationships. It may cost your reputation. Disobeying God may cost you your peace. There will be a cost. But listen to me today, because I want to encourage you. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to build you up. And listen, because the amazing thing about God's love for us is that when we rebel, he loves us too much to not chase us down. When we rebel from God, listen, if God is the one doing the chasing, you can expect a storm to come. Because the storm is not evidence that God has abandoned us. The storm is evidence that God refuses to abandon us. God could have just let Jonah go and thrown up his hands and said, forget this guy, I'm done with him. But he doesn't. He throws the storm, hurls the storm in Jonah's way to get his attention. I wanna say today that there may be some things that God has sent into your life, problems in your path where he is trying to get your attention. Could it be today that you have difficulty in your job because of bad decisions you have sown along the way? And instead of looking to try and figure out of everything and everybody else that's gone wrong with this, maybe you need to ask yourself, have I been running from something that God has asked me to do? You may have crisis in your marriage because you have drifted away from obedience to God. And you need to ask yourself, the storm that you're in today, could it be that you have been running from God? Thinking and praying, even this morning, of people that this weekend, they may have been too hungover to get to church, and they're watching this later in their life. And that maybe, could it be that God, you have to ask yourself this question, how long am I gonna keep running from God? Because God, when you are running, he will send a storm. But the grace of God is that even in our rebellion, he loves us too much to let us go. Just want to encourage you today, God's reach is greater than your run. How many know this to be their testimony today, that God, even in my disobedience, even in my rebellion, God's grace has chased me down. His love has never let me go. Come on, this is the grace of God. Let's celebrate today and thank him. His reach is greater than my run. So lastly, the final thing, all that really was just where I want to get to now, this introduction to this point. I see the panic on your faces. We'll be done in just a moment. Last thing I want to say is that God's provision oftentimes looks like problems. God's provision often looks like problems. Look at verse 17. The Lord provided a fish to swallow Jonah. If you're taking notes or you have your Bible, you can circle that word, because this is what jumped out at me this week. This just got me. That the fish was provided. It was God's provision. I want you to see this. The storm comes and Jonah goes, I'm pretty sure, guys, that this storm is my fault. So just throw me over so that I can die. Jonah would rather die than just pray and obey God. How about that? And he's like, just kill me now. So they throw him overboard. And you got to think of this. I love the Bible. You got to think of this from God's perspective. Because Jonah jumps off the ship and is drowning. And God goes, you idiot. I've sent a storm your way to try and get your attention, and now you jump in the water, and God goes, I have a fool over here that's drowning. So now I've got to use what resources that I have to try and save him. And God's like, okay, you're in the middle of an ocean, so I need a whale to come over here and just swallow you up. And think about this. God had to rescue Jonah from a situation caused by his own disobedience. Think of the grace of our God. And the love of our God, that even in our own foolishness, God sends a whale to rescue him. And think about it, from Jonah's perspective, it just looked like another affliction. God, seriously, you couldn't just let me die. I have to digest slowly now. Is this just an instrument of God punishing me? Is God just trying to harm me? No. Think, from Jonah's perspective, it was affliction, but to God, it was his salvation. It was just another problem, but to God, it was his providence. And that's the hinge on what I'm trying to tell you this morning, that there are some problems in your life that are providential. Some problems that you are faced with are the providence of God. It is God providing for you. And right at the center of the story of Jonah, actually over and over and over again, every one of the four chapters, there is this word that appears that God provided this and he provided that. That God provided the storm and he provided the whale and he provided the tree. And if you know the story, he provided the worm. And right at the very center of Jonah's story is this word provided. God provided these things. This was God's provision. And the word the Bible uses for provision is this word manna. The word manna, it means to provide, but it's a play on words because it finds its definition in the very first place of the Bible in the book of Exodus, where God, not so coincidentally, provided manna to the people of God. If you know this story, you would know that the people of God were wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience. And even in their disobedience, God says, I love them too much to let them starve. And so I'm gonna provide food for them every day. And the Bible says that as they wandered, that every morning God would make it rain heavenly frosted flakes. It says it was honey, tasted like honey and sweet. So, and you know what? The literal translation for the word manna, it means, what is it? Think about that. What God is sent as provision, they were like, well, what is this? What is this? God sent them the miracle, and they pick it up off the ground and they're like, what is this? And you know what they're beginning to do? Is God sent them a miracle and they begin to question it and to complain about it. I want to tell somebody today that God's provision is not limited to your preferences. God sent them and they're like, this isn't what I ordered. You said you were going to feed us. What is this? That's literally what the word means. And it come to mean in the Bible, their provision, that the very miracle that God had sent them, they started to complain about. And watch this. because they complained about it, they missed the revelation of what the manna was supposed to teach them, that God can provide my every need. See, this is what happens, is the longer we complain with God, we miss out on what he's trying to teach us. The longer we cross our arms in bitterness and frustration and thinking, God, what is this? I thought I was supposed to have no problems. Seriously, what is this? And you know what? The Bible says that those things are God's provision. It's God providing for you. And they complained about it, but manna was the very miracle that God had sent their way. Think about this. This is what I see in Jonah's life, that God provided the whale, and the Bible calls it manna. That God provided this. The time didn't seem like provision. Just felt like another problem. At the time, it just felt like misery. But if it's provided by God, then it teaches me that God is ministering to me. At the time, it just felt like God was trying to destroy me. But manna tells me that God was trying to deliver me. And when I look back over the story of my life, I see that even my problems are God's provision. He is ordering these things by providence, not to punish me, not to harm me, not to destroy me, but everything that God does in your life is to save you. It's to save us. See, the thing about this is it, for you, it could have been the loss of a job. And you're wondering, God, how could this happen to me? But you know, it could be God closing that door because he has another one that he wants to open for you, but you wouldn't have had the faith to walk it out yourself. So he sent you a problem, a providential problem. For some of you, it could have been a breakup. Feeling like, God, how could they leave me? I love this person. And God is trying to save you from a terrible marriage. And he's sending you a providential problem right into your path. It could be a traffic jam and you're like, how am I gonna be late to this meeting? But God is trying to save you from hurt and destruction and trying to slow you down. And so he'll send you a providential problem. And oftentimes we have a hard time understanding what God is doing, but newsflash, you don't have to, because he's God. And God sits at a different seat than we do. And he sees from a perspective that we can't see from. The Bible says his ways are higher and his thoughts are greater. So what you might see as a problem here in your life this morning might just be God's providence for you. I want to tell somebody today that peace, real peace, is learning how to see your problems as God's providence. Maturity, learning to see your problem as God's provision for your life. How do you keep your cool? How do you keep your composure? How do you keep your trust in God after everything that you're going through? It's learning to see that there are some problems that God is orchestrating and working out, not by coincidence, but because of his goodness and providence and his determination to bless me. I heard a story not too long ago, and I don't know if it's a true story, but it's one that really encouraged me. The story goes that there was a woman who every morning would walk outside of her house and stand on her front doorstep, and she would simply exclaim, "Praise the Lord." And every day she grew in the habit of the very first thing is she would stand outside a little bit loud enough where the neighbors could hear, she would say, "Praise the Lord." What she didn't know is that there was an atheist that moved next door. And so she would stand outside of her front door and she would say, "Praise the Lord." And eventually the atheist, he got tired of hearing it. And so every time she would wake up and say, "Praise the Lord," he would come out of his door and he would say, "There is no Lord." And this went on for a few months until this woman, she fell into some trouble. She couldn't pay her bills any longer. And so she would wake up and she would pray, and she was praying loud enough. She would say, "God, I need your help. I can't pay my bills anymore. I need some food, and God, I need you to provide for me. I don't want to starve, so fill my pantry." And she would pray this, and she would say, God, praise the Lord because I know you're gonna provide. And one day, she woke up, and she saw at her front doorstep, there were two huge bags of food. And she said, praise the Lord, God has provided for me. And just in that moment, her neighbor jumped out from his door, and he said, ha, I've got you. There is no Lord. I bought the groceries for you to prove that it wasn't God. And without skipping a beat, this woman jumped out and she said, praise the Lord, God has provided for me and he made the devil pay for it.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. To watch our latest message, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Free Chapel OC.